SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, we take a look at NVIDIA's latest earnings and what it says about AI, the future of the Future Fund, and we delve into the Minerals Resources AGM. All that and more next. Hi, everyone. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 21st of November, 2024. It was a relatively quiet day on the share market, with the S&P ASX 200 down only by 0.04%, so it barely moved. But it was a busy day in business news because we had some news about a government directive on the Future Fund, changes to rate cut calls from one of the nation's biggest economists, and we finally heard from the Managing Director of Mineral Resources, Chris Ellison, in person speaking at its AGM. So for that and more, I spoke with Ben Clark, a Portfolio Manager at TMS Capital. Ben, what's driving the market today?
Quiet day today, Ricardo. We've had a pretty wild week, but it's patchy. We had an NVIDIA result that came out after market that everyone was looking at, and the futures in the US haven't really moved too significantly on the back of that. Volumes are low. There's a lot of AGMs going on today. We've also had some breaking news about the Adani Empire coming out of America and the arrests of some key executives there. So it's been busy, but it's not been really reflected in what the market's done.
The news from Adani, right? Are there any local exposures?
Yeah, look, there's one list of fund manager, GQG, which has been a really incredibly well-performing stock this year, has been hit on the back of it. And they do have a number of holdings in these companies in their flagship funds. So it's left investors scrambling, I think, to try and work out what implications this could have for performance fees, which is a big part of these companies' profits. Do advisors and institutions stick and hold with the fund? How do the share prices of those businesses react, which will have an impact on the performance of the fund? Do we see potentially ratings agencies start to relook at their recommendation on the fund? So these sort of events can be problematic for funds and their investors.
On more broader issues of interest rates, right? Westpac today became the latest of the big four banks to push back their expectations for an RBA rate cut from February to May. What's the market thinking?
Yeah, and I'd say that economists, to be honest, have been really poor forecasting what the RBA is going to do next. They've just been constantly pushing these cuts back, as has the market. So if you look at the bond market today and the pricing of forward interest rates, the bond market is saying that there will be one rate cut by August 2025. That's been fully priced in. And there will be a second rate cut by the end of 2025. But then that's it, that we get to about a neutral rate of about 3.85% and no more cuts to come. Now, that will continue to change. But as at today, that's what the bond market's saying.
You mentioned earlier NVIDIA, the numbers there. What do those earnings say about AI and tech, since it really has been driving the markets lately?
Yeah, what they're saying is that this trade still has a long way to go. NVIDIA grew its profit by 94% in the last quarter versus the quarter 1 year ago, which is extraordinary given this is now one of the biggest companies in the world. And I listened into the call this morning, and Jensen Huang, one of the quotes he said was, "We're at the beginning of a fundamental shift in computing, and there are no companies on the planet who won't shift." So they still see a very long runway of growth. The market keeps thinking that this can't last. It has to give up at some stage and this growth has to slow down, but it's showing no signs of it as yet.
The Treasurer has directed the Future Fund to prioritise investments in housing, renewable energy and infrastructure. This fund, though, is primarily used to fund public service superannuation. It's been independent for 15 years. Are there concerns now about how it's being run, its independence, given the government's trying to have a bit of a say? And are there any implications for markets here?
I think there are very valid concerns about what's been raised today. I mean, everyone will have an opinion on it. So we've seen David Murray, who was one of the architects of this, has come out and said that he feels this is bad policy. And, you know, from a personal opinion, I think this is terrible policy. This fund was put together because the government was aware at the time that there was going to be a significant gap in pension liabilities that needed to be paid, where there was a big black hole. And we as taxpayers need to fund that gap at some point in the future. So we need this fund, which is now at $140 billion, to grow as much as it possibly can in the coming years to fill that gap so that we don't have to pay more taxes, or we can still get levels of support from government who will otherwise need to fund this. And so we need that fund to be earning, generating the best returns that it can. And I really fail to see that that's possible when government are telling it how to invest. The other problem it raises is that every time we get a change in government, you can see that the mandate that this fund is given will also change. And given we're on a 3 to 4 year election cycle, that's far too short a time frame for an investment committee to be thinking about investing.
I listened in earlier to the start of the AGM of Mineral Resources, which was being held in Perth today. Its Managing Director, Chris Ellison, speaking to shareholders, again apologising for his lack of judgment on personal tax matters which have implicated the company. A, what's your take on it? And B, how does this speak to the broader theme of corporate governance? Because some of the questions from shareholders at the AGM was all about why the company took so long to tell shareholders about these issues when they were reading about it in the media weeks beforehand.
We speak as a shareholder, and I would say that this is a complicated situation, and it highlights one of the issues is when a founder gets into some sort of trouble or there's some issues around the founder, it's not an easy path out of those troubles. Now, it's further complicated by the fact that Chris Ellison is actually the big institutional shareholders want him to stay on despite the issues that have arisen. And, you know, again, probably more from a personal opinion, I'm of the view that Chris wasn't doing anything necessarily insidious or, you know, trying to create wealth for himself versus his shareholders. That I think they were personally ingrained habits that should have ceased but didn't. And, you know, he's come out, he's apologised, he's owned up to these issues, disclosed it. What themes from a governance perspective does it raise? And what would, I think, in hindsight, we'd like to have seen is a more independent board, more independent directors, potentially a more experienced board that was willing to push back on the founder when decisions were being made. And that's something I think, you know, you've got to take a lesson out of this.
And finally, Ben, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
They're getting fewer and further between. Valuations look very full in Australia. I sort of feel like the US market is pushing higher on earnings upgrades. Our market is pushing higher on the US market pulling us along. And valuations here are looking a little bit frothier than I've seen them for some time. Opportunities, it's an opportunity to raise some cash.
That's Ben Clark there from TMS Capital.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a...
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.